97.1 FM Talk Podcast. The Mark Cox Morning Show.
Listen to both sides.
The bottom line is,
I respect that we don't agree.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Just to find a voice.
Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
I don't know how to put this.
Mark Cox.
I'm kind of a big deal.
Well, it adds excitement, doesn't it, folks?
All right, I've been marked safe from harming any cats today. I just want you to know that. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. Lots to get to for you today. We've got Shanna Bream and Griff Jenkins both up here in the 8 o'clock hour, and glad to have them on again. I'm sure Shannon has some takeaways from the debate. And, you know, I don't know about you, a day removed from that debate, I'm probably a little more angry about what went on there than I was immediately afterwards. Part of that was probably the fact that we were a little sleep deprived yesterday, and you know, we stayed up late and you're trying to pay attention, you got a thousand things on your mind, and then you go back and you listen more closely to some of this interaction between particularly the moderators and Kamala Harris, and you realize that the only person that got fact-checked by the moderators was Donald Trump. Not once in that debate did they ever come back at her for any of her lies, half-truths, exaggerations, dodging questions, none of it. None of it. They never asked her about important things like China or foreign policy or dug down on any of these so-called policies that she claimed to have but never explained. You know nothing more today about her than you knew prior to the debate, except that she can string two sentences together with enough practice. That's the only thing. And my immediate reaction to it wasn't Trump's best performance. But now that I've looked back at it, I really think Trump didn't do that bad. She did better than people expected. The debate moderators ran interference for her, but plain and simple, when it came to content and information, you got that from Trump. You didn't get it from Kamala Harris. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that. We got Mark Lotter on a little later. Of course, he used to work for Donald Trump. Now he works for the America First Policy Institute. He's also looking at the question of whether or not Hunter Biden is going to be getting a presidential pardon anytime soon. So we'll get to him coming up in the 7 o'clock hour when we give away some more TSO tickets. That's all straight ahead here on the Mark Cox Morning Show. So we'll get to that in here along with the Ethan and Kim this morning. Carl continues his vacation to Vegas. Maybe he'll come back a winner. Yesterday he sent us a picture posing in front of the Trump Hotel, the Trump Tower in Vegas.
I've never been to Vegas, but I've heard max 3 days is all you need there.
It's huge. Vegas is huge. Everything about it's huge. Everything is so huge that when you're walking down the street, you'll see a big building and it seems like it's right next door and it's like a mile away and it's 100 freaking degrees in Vegas all the time. So you're dying on the way over there unless you can get on the little tram and ride it down the strip. So,
well, I'd be curious to hear if he's been gambling.
I don't know if Carl's a big gambler or not. You know, it used to be the reason to go to Vegas is if you were sitting at a quarter slot machine spending $20 an hour, you could drink for free the whole time you were gambling. I assume they still do that. I haven't been there in a few years.
I thought they do that at every casino.
Not here. But the last,
you can tell I'm not a big gambler.
Yeah, last time I was in Vegas, they were doing that. I played poker. I got in a poker tournament and sat at the table for 5 hours, and they were bringing you free drinks while you were gambling because they, you know, they're still making money on you, so they're happy about that.
Right, and they want you to stay.
It's just been
and spend more money because you think it's a good idea after your 3, 4, 5, 6 drinks in.
Yeah, it's just been a few years since that all happened. So anyway, we're going to get to all that for you coming up here in just a minute. Ethan, first, why don't we go ahead and get to our top stories this morning, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
real wages have actually fallen for, have been negative for 25 months in a row. Real wages, not nominal, real, what people actually feel and take home every day.
Yeah, that's something that probably should have been brought up in the debate the other night, but ABC didn't seem to be too interested in reminding you that you're much worse off today than you were 4 years ago.
Eight children in Minnesota that died after attempted abortions were born and then still died, but you have ABC saying this never happens.
Yeah, that's Congressman Mike Waltz. I'm glad he brought that up. Another thing they tried to fact check Donald Trump on, Kamala Harris said nobody aborts children after they're born. And then you've got the former Virginia governor, Ralph Northam, confirming that it does happen and that liberal Democrats do support that.
What we saw tonight in this quote debate was her repeating memorized set pieces from her stump speech and from her convention speech.
Yeah, true. Ted Cruz making that point very effectively, saying right off the bat when they ask her, are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? She wanted nothing to do with that question. If you listen to it, she completely dodged the very first question of the debate.
When a fighter has a bad fight, gets knocked out, or loses the fight, the first thing he says is, we want a rematch. Are we going to do a rematch? I just don't know. But we'll think about it.
It's true. What did Apollo Creed say? What did he say, Ethan? Ain't going to be no rematch. But they wanted a rematch, right? Because you don't want anybody questioning your abilities there, you know. So the people that ran out and asked for a rematch first was the Harris campaign. I think Trump's playing that very smartly there, don't you?
Yeah, I think the Harris campaign asked for a rematch because she did better than expected, and they want one more opportunity to try to beat Trump in a debate.
Trump may be playing the long game here. Maybe he's playing a little bit of chess.
I think he needs to be cautious with this. I think that she could be even more polished for a second debate, and I can't believe I'm even saying that.
Yeah, you're overthinking it, I believe. I think you saw the best that Kamala Harris will ever be. She didn't have to ever even once explain what she would do.
Yeah, but people don't care who are going to support her. They're acting on emotion.
But you're right, and because that's how liberals think. They think with their heart and not their head.
Right.
That's what put us in the mess we're in today. But the important thing about it is, and I made this point to a friend on Facebook yesterday, because I had one of my liberal friends. I used to go to high school with her years ago, and because it was just a few years ago when I was in high school.
What, five or so?
It's just been a minute. I mean, it hasn't been that long. I mean, come on. Those 40 years flew by. But my point is, she put out a post that said something to the effect that, you know, for all you Trumpians out there, I want to know, what's your reaction? Her suggestion was people were being very quiet after the debate, right? And she was kind of ribbing people a little bit. How come you're not all out there bragging about your man this morning? And a few people got on there and commented, and I had to make this point to her. Here's the thing about it. All Kamala Harris managed to do was unburden herself from the past word salad that has been, right? She did do that,
she
right?
She did.
But it didn't change anything. If you supported her before, you're still going to vote for her. Anybody that didn't support her before didn't learn anything new about her policy positions at all. She didn't say anything. And while it's true that Trump probably fell for a little bit of the baiting that she had practiced, because if you challenge him on crowd size, it gets him riled up. He didn't like things like that. He got a little off track on a couple of those. He missed a couple of key opportunities, I thought, to blast her policies. But other than that, nothing changed. If you eat, shop, drive, have a mortgage, or own a cat, you're much worse off today than you were 4 years ago. And that is the message that came out of that debate. And I believe that people are, that's why I don't think it moved the needle at all. I don't think it moved the needle at all. I think that there are people out there nobody was motivated to vote for Trump or against Trump or for Harris or against Harris who listened to that debate. And a lot of people listened to it. It wasn't a record setting. I think the Trump-Clinton debate drew more people. But still, listen to this voter from Michigan who is very concerned about what happens to America if Trump doesn't win.
How will you feel if Trump doesn't win, Diane?
Petrified.
Petrified?
Petrified.
Of what may be happening?
All the illegals coming through, they're going to make it up here to Michigan.
What is going on at the border scares me to death. I just hold my breath every day hoping that somebody that I love doesn't get hurt.
Really? You think about it that much?
Yes.
Yeah, that's Major Garrett sitting at a diner in Michigan talking to a couple of suburban moms who know what the real world. I mean, you already know what Donald Trump's going to do if he gets elected. What the debate needed to help determine was what would Kamala Harris do if she was elected. And nobody who watched that debate has any better idea about that today than they did before it started, except that she can talk about the future and I care about you and I want to help you. But she didn't say anything about what she would do except give you $25,000 if you're a first-time homebuyer. Well, good for first-time homebuyers, except for the fact that everybody's going to be out there with the same 25 grand and the house is going to cost you 25 or 50 grand more as a result of that. It doesn't solve anything. She didn't talk about homelessness, didn't talk about China, wouldn't admit that she wanted to ban internal combustion engines, which she does, denied she wants to ban guns, which she does. All of these things that she was never held account to. So I'm more angry than anything as a result of what happened the other night. Those moderators absconded. They absconded of their duties. They absolutely blew it, in my opinion.
I agree. It was 3-1.
It was 3-1. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Hey, when we come back, we're going to talk more about this abortion issue because that's something else that came up. And it's important, right? Because it's one thing we're going to talk to Shannon Bream about today. How much will that drive people to the polls in November? And Donald Trump's comments about the Virginia governor, which they poo-pooed and claimed that that's not true. If you haven't heard that bite in a while, I'm going to play it for you when we come back.
I will just note that when it comes to abortions after 21 weeks, less than 1% account for that. And in a lot of those cases, it has to do with the life of the mother, or it has to do with the extreme medical conditions of the fetus that it will not survive after birth. But I do want to ask you, you said it was a hypothetical.
That's important commentary, but you 1% of millions is still a large number. And I mean, when you have,
or in the case of rape or incest, barriers to access. But for instance, if someone,
look,
if someone,
I mean, when you have eight children in Minnesota that died after attempted abortions were born and then still died, but you have ABC saying this never happens. When you have eight states that have zero restrictions all the way up to the minute of birth, ABC was all over the place and one-sided.
Sir, you know that's not,
air quote,
you know that's not how it happens.
I'm holding up an article.
But I do, I want to ask you,
from the Dispatch.
I want to ask you, because you are a surrogate for the Trump.
Listen, they will not let Congressman Waltz talk about the truth on abortion. They wouldn't let him talk about it. What Donald Trump was talking about was the former Virginia Governor Ralph Northam, who is a doctor, a medical doctor who performed abortions, admitting he supported legislation in the state of Virginia that would allow abortion up to and after birth. If you have never heard this bite or it's been a while, it's worth hearing it again. Yes, he did support it, and he needs people to understand why this is so important.
If a mother is in labor, I can tell you exactly what would happen. The infant would be delivered. The infant would be kept comfortable. The infant would be resuscitated if that's what the mother and the family desired. And then a discussion would ensue between the physicians and the mothers.
To let that soak in. The baby would be delivered at 40 weeks, and then we would make the decision. The baby would be made comfortable while we decided whether or not to kill it. You have to understand the depravity of these individuals. That's what it is. And when you look at Amendment 3, which will be on the ballot in Missouri, they talk about reproductive health care. It's not health care for the baby. It's murder. The baby gets murdered. And I don't know how you look at abortion as health care for anybody, including the mother, but what it is birth control after the fact. You need to understand, they talk about viability, but it's not a set age. So again, Ralph Northam, the doctor, could move to Missouri and decide with the mother that the age of viability is 40 weeks, yep, and they want to end that pregnancy. We're not making it up.
Or say the pregnancy's been too stressful for the mom and therefore it's in her best interest, yes, to abort the baby.
Yes. That's what you need to understand about Amendment 3. It's why you need to vote no on Amendment 3. And I will have the voter guide out to help you, and you can spread it around to all of your friends to help them understand what's at stake here as well. We're going to try to get that out to you by next week. I promise you that. We're going to be back in just a minute with Tom Ackerman. Stay tuned.
Find everything Mark Cox at 971talk.com/Cox.
The great sports mind like Tom Ackerman.
Baseball's really not a hard sport.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
It's like powered by coffee this morning.
Sports, sponsored by McDonald's, reminding you to round up your total for Ronald McDonald House
Tom
Charities
Ackerman,
on your next door.
I've got my Cardinal jersey on this morning. I'm going to go to the day game and hang out. And,
I see that.
Thank
you
very
much. What do you got there? What number?
This is a Pujols.
Pujols, it's 5. Oh, nice.
Yeah, number
good,
5.
Good.
Almost wore my Tommy Pham jersey. I had an old throwback Pham jersey since he's back in the fam.
Well, he was.
He was.
He was here for not very long.
Yeah.
Now he's with the Royals. That made a great play yesterday. He threw out a guy at second base. The leadoff hitter tried to leg out a double, and Pham said no.
No, I don't think so.
Threw him out.
Well, I'm glad we got rid of that problem maker.
I'm a big Tommy Pham fan. I like Tommy.
So say that five times really fast.
Tommy Pham.
I like Tommy Edman, too. He had 2 home runs yesterday for the Dodgers. Yikes. That was in the Pham trade, actually. The 3-way trade. So, yeah.
So what are you thinking?
Things didn't go well. Well, I'm thinking that, at this point, you just look for opportunities for young players to gain experience. That's why they called up Thomas Sagacy, give him an opportunity. Jordan Walker's playing all the time. So you're giving players opportunities to play at the big league level, and then you have some good competition next year, and changes are coming. John Mozeliak said it himself on my show Sunday that, they had Gary LaRocque retire. He's the head of player development. 71 years old, has had a great career. Really like Gary. What a great guy, and he's done a really nice job. But, everything sort of runs its course, and I've said to you many times that the way the Cardinals did things doesn't work anymore. So it's time to rethink everything. Mozeliak pretty much indicating to me he's not going anywhere. He's signed through 2025. So I asked him about, outside people that you could go around to other teams and see what they're doing and try to take some of their employees. And he said, that's already done. He said, I'll tell you right now, it's already done. The interviews are going to take place and it should be an interesting 3 months.
Right.
So what he's telling you is they are going to bring in new blood and they are going to change things up a little bit and try to figure out a new way of winning. And this is from the very, very top. Bill DeWitt needs to figure out how to get this franchise back on track, how to become a power again. The Cardinals used to be the envy of Major League Baseball. Everybody wanted to be the Cardinals. Great farm system. They are an attractive organization where occasionally they'll bring in a free agent. That free agent flourishes. And those things are not happening right now. So they've got to figure out a way. But it all starts with drafting and developing players, without a doubt. The Cardinals cannot afford to fail in that area. They have to be able to draft good players, and they have a really, really good player they just drafted in J.J. Weatherholt. They have to figure out a pathway to success for him. Do not allow him to miss an opportunity and get the most out of him and any player that you bring in. Draft, develop, and then once those positions are filled, you find out which ones you've missed, and then you go spend on the free agent. And you have yourself a franchise, and you go win. And the Cardinals, one thing they will always have on their side, and I know it doesn't feel like it right now because of empty seats, but they do have a massive fan base.
I agree.
And when the Cardinals do well and they show this fan base and they communicate with this fan base that they are on the path to success, that fan base will be right back in those seats and will give them the lift that they need.
And I think part of the frustration is, and you know I'm a bourbon fan, I don't know if I've mentioned that to you or not.
I don't think so.
The thing, as am I.
Yes.
We're learning today.
But the thing about bourbon is that it takes a while. And what you're describing takes a while. And the frustrating thing is, why weren't they doing that 5 or 6 years ago? And now we'd have a nice, fine-aged 6 or 7 year old bourbon we're dealing with instead of having to talk about starting over again.
It's an interesting question.
Frustrating that they haven't realized that.
Well, they're not starting over again because that would be disastrous. They could not do that. That's the whole point. What they tried to do was stay competitive and draft and develop at the same time, and the way they were doing that was not working. They still have to do that.
Yeah.
The Cardinals can't tank. They won't tank. Tanking meaning just like what the Cubs did back in 2012, 13, and then went on to win the World Series, but they were horrible for a few years. I mean, losing 100 games. There's no chance the Cardinals do that. They won't. You'll see just what you're seeing now. You'll see like two people there. So they have to figure out a way to stay competitive. They have good enough players to do that, but at the same time, draft and develop great talent. They have money. They've got a lot of money. And go sign, be smart about it, sign free agents, and let's get this thing moving. I think what they did last year, they hoped that, and they miscalculated this, or it just didn't come through. They thought, here's how we fix this. We're going to go get 3 starting pitchers. We are going to give ourselves the best chance to win every day because our offense is awesome. The offense was good last year. It was pressing a little bit because the pitching wasn't good.
Right.
And then that completely backfired. The Cardinals' offense was bad this year and did not come through like they thought. And so it turned out to be a messy year. They're a game over 500. They're fighting just to not have a losing season.
I mean, what would starting over look like to you when you say that? What do you think that would look like?
Like selling off all your players and just starting and playing.
Completely rebuilding. Playing
stuff. Yeah, they're not doing that.
No, they're not doing that.
I mean, they can't do that.
Because I don't know how many like of these players you would replace before you would consider that starting over.
Yeah, a team that could only win, 60 games, that's starting over. That's not happening.
No.
They're going to make sure that they're in contention because they can. They can win this division, but they've got to have the right mix of players. And they have to be able to find a way to create offense. I mean, the Cardinals' bullpen was great this year. Great. Like one of the best in all of baseball. Ryan Helsley might be the best closer in baseball right now. It's a missed opportunity. That was a really good bullpen. And by the way, really good management of the bullpen by Ollie Marmol.
True. Yeah, I know we don't have a lot of time left here, but I heard an interesting stat this morning that the opening day at viewership for the NFL was the highest it's ever been this year.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I'm one of those people that strayed away a couple of years ago, not only over the political controversies, but then we lost the Rams, didn't really have a hometown team, and I was just satisfied to not watch much anymore. But clearly, that's not how a lot of people feel, because it's still as popular as ever.
Yeah, it's good product. Yeah. It is. It's a good product. I have it on. I don't sit there and watch every single game, and I don't watch games all 4 quarters either. I just sort of have it on while I'm doing things around the house.
Yeah.
But I like it. It's comfortable. It's Sunday and NFL's on. I'm not opposed to it. I'm over the Rams thing. I don't trust the NFL hierarchy.
Right.
I like the players and they're amazing at what they do. So it doesn't bother me. I do miss the whole going to training camp and covering the NFL. Yeah. Like I used to know every single thing that was going on and I was monitoring the injuries and I was obsessed with it as a reporter. Now it's just for my fantasy team.
Yeah.
I just look and see which player's doing well, who should I pick up, and then I go, play with the kids.
We're going to talk about this later this morning, but this sports betting thing is obviously on the ballot this time, and they're already starting to run ads locally promoting
it.
Well, so it shouldn't be long.
Actually, you know what? That's really the real reason why it is the number one sport by far is the gambling plays a huge role in that.
Right.
And fantasy football.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would agree. Tommy, thanks.
Thank you, guys.
We appreciate
it.
Absolutely. Good to see you. We appreciate that.
Yeah.
My mic cut off there. Sorry about that. The reason I mentioned that is I've got one of those ads that they're running for sports betting.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was very interesting, the approach that they're taking to this. Have you heard this?
No.
They want you to approve sports betting this year because the children. Just so you know. Here we go.
As a mom and former first grade teacher, I care deeply about education. That's why I'm voting for Amendment 2. Legalizing sports betting will generate tens of millions of dollars every year for our classrooms, helping increase teacher pay. Amendment 2 has a constitutional guarantee that ensures the money from sports betting goes to our schools.
So you, I think it's going to pass. I think it probably should pass.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
I support sports betting.
The cat is out of the bag. Excuse me, Springfield, Ohio, for bringing that up. The cat is out of the bag when it comes to gambling. We've had casinos here for years. You're not helping saving anyone by not allowing them to sports bet, because I know people that will drive across the river and park in a parking lot and place their bets and then drive back to Missouri.
Yeah.
So if that's going to happen anyway, Missouri might as well get a little bit of money off of it.
I think that's an effective ad, by the way.
But they didn't mention gambling. They didn't mention sports. They just mentioned it's for the kids.
Well, but that is so effective, because that's targeting all the moms who do not, the women who do not care about sports, but they care about schools and children and teacher pay. All they need to do is look at Amendment 2 on their ballot in November. Oh, yeah, I remember that commercial for the kids. Check. I think that is probably the best way they could have phrased that commercial to try to, to convince people.
Yeah,
to vote.
Now I'm waiting for the Planned Parenthood people to come in and say, it's for the kids.
It's for the children.
Oh, my God. It's for the children. We're murdering. Yeah, thank you. Wow. Yeah, they're spending millions of dollars from outstate on all that, for sure. On not only Planned Parenthood, but the pro-gambling ad, if you hadn't seen that. All right, coming up, we're going to get to another news here in just a couple minutes. Stay tuned for that. Next hour, we'll give away a couple of tickets to Trans-Siberian Orchestra, and we'll check in with Mark Lotter on what's going on with the debate fallout. We'll be back.
What's happening?
Go, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news,
Jon Bon Jovi being hailed a hero after saving a woman from jumping off a Nashville bridge. The legendary rocker was recording a music video on that bridge downtown in Nashville Wednesday when he noticed this woman standing over the ledge. Surveillance video shows Bon Jovi and another woman help pull her back over the railing, and then he's actually seen hugging the woman.
Wow. Take
she
my
walks,
hand.
She walks
we'll
off.
Make it, I swear. Did he sing he that?
Probably,
did he say
he
that
probably
to her?
Serenaded her after.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, good for him. He was filming a music video on that bridge. I didn't even know they made music videos anymore, but I guess Taylor Swift won some award at the Music Video Awards last night, so they must...
Yeah, you got to put it on YouTube.
They must there still make go. Videos. So Jon Bon Jovi was filming this on this bridge, and they looked back and see some woman about to jump?
Yeah, and which surprised me, because you'd think if he was shooting this music video that they would have had the entire bridge
closed
down. Yeah.
It was a pedestrian bridge, not a road, right?
I can't remember, because I used to live in Nashville. I can't remember. But yeah, I think it was a pedestrian bridge, but still, I would think it would be closed off to the public while they were shooting this.
Mm.
Anyway, Sue, this one will be interesting for you. A homeowner who sold his $79 million Miami Beach mansion for less than asking price is now suing his realtor for not disclosing that Jeff Bezos was the buyer.
Find everything Mark Cox at 971talk.com/Cox.
The great sports mind like Tom Ackerman.
Baseball is really not a hard sport.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
It's like powered by coffee this morning.
Sports, sponsored by McDonald's, reminding you to round up your total for Ronald
right,
McDonald House
Tom
Charities
Ackerman,
on
you see
your next door.
I've got my Cardinal jersey on this morning. I'm going to go to the day game and hang out. And,
I see that.
Thank
you, got
very
there?
Much.
What do you got there? What number?
This is a Pujols.
Pujols it's five.
Jersey.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, number
good,
five.
Good.
Almost wore my Tommy Pham jersey. I had an old throwback Pham jersey since he's back in the Pham.
Well, he was.
He was.
He was here for not very long.
Yeah.
Now he's with the Royals. That made a great play yesterday. He threw out a guy at second base. the leadoff hitter tried to leg out a double, and Pham said no.
No, I don't think so.
Threw him out.
Well, I'm glad we got Tommy. Rid of that problem maker.
I'm a big Tommy Pham fan. I like Tommy.
So
say that five times really fast.
Tommy Pham.
I like Tommy Edman, too. He had two home runs yesterday for the Dodgers. Yikes. That was in the Pham trade, actually. The three-way trade. So, yeah.
So, what do you think?
Things didn't go
what
well.
What do you think?
Well, I'm thinking that, you know, at this point, you just look for opportunities for young players to gain experience. That's why they called up Thomas Sejesi, give him an opportunity. Jordan Walker's playing all the time. So you're giving players opportunities to play at the big league level, and then you have some good competition next year, and changes are coming. John Mozeliak said it himself on my show Sunday that, you know, they had Gary LaRocque retire. He's the head of player development. 71 years old, has had a great career. Really like Gary. What a great guy, and he's done a really nice job. But, you know, everything sort of runs its course, and I've said to you many times that the way the Cardinals did things doesn't work anymore. So it's time to rethink everything. Mozeliak pretty much indicating to me he's not going anywhere. He's signed through 2025. So I asked him about, you know, outside people that you could go around to other teams and see what they're doing and try to take some of their employees. And he said, that's already done. He said, I'll tell you right now, it's already done. Where the interviews are going to take place, and it should be an interesting 3 months.
Right.
So what he's telling you is they are going to bring in new blood, and they are going to change things up a little bit and try to figure out a new way of winning. And this is from the very, very top. Bill DeWitt needs to figure out how to get this franchise back on track, how to become a power again. The Cardinals used to be the envy of Major League Baseball. Everybody wanted to be the Cardinals. Great farm system. They are an attractive organization where occasionally they'll bring in a free agent. That free agent flourishes. And those things are not happening right now. So they've got to figure out a way. But it all starts with drafting and developing players, without a doubt. The Cardinals cannot afford to fail in that area. They have to be able to draft good players, and they have a really, really good player they just drafted in J.J. Weatherholt. They have to figure out a pathway to success for him. Do not allow him to miss an opportunity and get the most out of him and any player that you bring in. Draft, develop, and then once those positions are filled, you find out which ones you've missed, and then you go spend on the free agent. And you have yourself a franchise, and you go win. And the Cardinals, one thing they will always have on their side, and I know it doesn't feel like it right now because of empty seats, but they do have a massive fan base.
I agree.
And when the Cardinals do well, and they show this fan base, and they communicate with this fan base that they are on the path to success, that fan base will be right back in those seats and will give them the lift that they need.
And I think part of the frustration is, and you know, I'm a bourbon fan. I don't know if I've mentioned that to you.
I don't think so.
The thing,
as am I. Yes.
We're learning today.
But the thing about bourbon is that it takes a while, and what you're describing takes a while. And the frustrating thing is, why weren't they doing that 5 or 6 years ago? And now we'd have a nice, fine aged 6 or 7 year old bourbon we're dealing with, instead of having to talk about starting over again.
I mean, it's an interesting question.
Frustrating that they haven't realized that.
Well, they're not starting over again because that would be disastrous. They could not do that. That's the whole point. What they tried to do was stay competitive and draft and develop at the same time, and the way they were doing that was not working. They still have to do that.
Yeah.
The Cardinals can't tank. They won't tank. Tanking meaning just like what the Cubs did back in 2012, 2013, and then went on to win the World Series, but they were horrible for a few years. I mean, losing 100 games. There's no chance the Cardinals do that. They won't. You'll see just what you're seeing now. You'll see like two people there. So they have to figure out a way to stay competitive. They have good enough players to do that, but at the same time, draft and develop great talent. They have money. They've got a lot of money. And go sign, be smart about it, sign free agents, and let's get this thing moving. I think what they did last year, they hoped that, and they miscalculated this, or it just didn't come through. They thought, here's how we fix this. We're going to go get 3 starting pitchers. We are going to give ourselves the best chance to win every day because our offense is awesome. The offense was good last year. It was pressing a little bit because the pitching wasn't good.
Right.
And then that completely backfired. The Cardinals' offense was bad this year and did not come through like they thought. And so it turned out to be a messy year. They're a game over 500. They're fighting just to not have a losing season.
I mean, what would starting over look like to you when you say that? What do you think that would look like?
Like selling off all your players and just starting and playing,
completely rebuilding.
They're not doing that. I mean, they can't do that.
Because I don't know how many like these players you would replace before you would consider that starting over.
Yeah, a team that could only win, you know, 60 games. That's starting over. That's not happening.
No.
They're going to make sure that they're in contention because they can. They can win this division, but they've got to do. They got to have the right mix of players, and they have to be able to find a way to create offense. I mean, the Cardinals' bullpen was great this year. Great. Like one of the best in all of baseball. Ryan Helsley might be the best closer in baseball right now. It's a missed opportunity. That was a really good bullpen. And by the way, really good management of the bullpen by Ollie Marmol.
True. Yeah, I know we don't have a lot of time left here, but I heard an interesting stat this morning that the opening day at viewership for the NFL was the highest it's ever been this year.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I'm one of those people that strayed away a couple years ago, not only over the political controversies, but then we lost the Rams, didn't really have a hometown team, and I was just satisfied to not watch much anymore. But clearly, that's not how a lot of people feel, because it's still as popular as ever.
Yeah, it's a good product. Yeah. It is. It's a good product. I have it on. I don't sit there and watch every single game, and I don't watch games all four quarters either. I just sort of have it on while I'm doing things around the house.
Yeah.
But I like it. It's comfortable. It's Sunday, and NFL's on. I'm not opposed to it. I'm over the Rams thing. I don't trust the NFL hierarchy.
Right.
I like the players, and they're amazing at what they do, so doesn't bother me. I do miss the whole, like, you know, going to training camp and covering the NFL. Yeah. Like, I used to know every single thing that was going on, and I was monitoring the injuries, and I was obsessed with it as a reporter. Now it's just for my fantasy team.
Yeah.
You know, like, I just look and see which player's doing well, who should I pick up, and then I go, play with the kids.
We're going to talk about this later this morning, but this sports betting thing is obviously on the ballot this time, and they're already starting to run ads locally. Promoting it.
Well, that
shouldn't be long.
Actually, you know what? That's really the real reason why it is the number one sport by far is the gambling plays a huge role in that.
Right.
And fantasy football.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would agree. Tommy, thanks.
Thank you, guys.
We appreciate
it. Good to see you.
Absolutely.
See you,
Tom. Good to see you. We appreciate that.
Yeah.
My mic cut off there. Sorry about that. I was, the reason I mentioned that is I've got one of those ads that they're running for sports betting, mm-hmm. and I thought it was very interesting the approach that they're taking to this. Have you heard this?
No.
They want you to approve sports betting this year because the children. Just so you know, here we go.
As a mom and former first grade teacher, I care deeply about education. That's why I'm voting for Amendment 2. Legalizing sports betting will generate tens of millions of dollars every year for our classrooms, helping increase teacher pay. Amendment 2 has a constitutional guarantee that ensures the money from sports betting goes to our schools.
So I think it's going to pass. I think it probably should pass.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
I support sports betting.
The cat is out of the bag. Excuse me, Springfield, Ohio, for bringing that up. The cat is out of the bag when it comes to gambling. We've had casinos here for years. You're not helping saving anyone by not allowing them to sports bet, because I know people that will drive across the river and park in a parking lot and place their bets and then drive back to Missouri.
Yeah.
So if that's going to happen anyway, Missouri might as well get a little bit of money off of it.
I think that's an effective ad, by the way.
But they didn't mention gambling. They didn't mention sports. They just mentioned it's for the kids.
Well, but that is so effective, because that's targeting all the moms who do not, the women who do not care about sports, but they care about schools and children and teacher pay. All they need to do is look at Amendment 2 on their ballot in November. Oh, yeah, I remember that commercial for the kids. Check. I think that is probably the best way they could have phrased that commercial to try to, or the ad rather, to convince people to vote in
favor. Now I'm waiting for the Planned Parenthood people to come in and say, it's for the kids.
It's for the children.
Oh, my God. It's for the children.
We're murdering.
Yeah, thank you. Wow. Yeah, they're spending millions of dollars from outstate on all that, for sure. On not only Planned Parenthood, but the pro-gambling ad, if you hadn't seen that. All right, coming up, we're going to get to another news here in just a couple minutes. Stay tuned for that. Next hour, we'll give away a couple of tickets to Trans-Siberian Orchestra, and we'll check in with Mark Lotter on what's going on with the debate fallout. We'll be back.
What's happening?
Go, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news,
Jon Bon Jovi being hailed a hero after saving a woman from jumping off a Nashville bridge. The legendary rocker was recording a music video on that bridge downtown in Nashville Wednesday when he noticed this woman standing over the ledge. Surveillance video shows Bon Jovi and another woman help pull her back over the railing, and then he's actually seen hugging the woman.
Wow. Take my hand.
She walks off.
We'll make it, I swear. Did he sing that? Did he say that to her?
He probably serenaded her after.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, good for him. He was filming a music video on that bridge. I didn't even know they made music videos anymore, but I guess Taylor Swift won some award at the Music Video Awards last night, so they must...
Yeah, you got to put it on YouTube.
They must still make videos. So John Bon Jovi was filming this on this bridge, and they looked back and see some woman about to jump?
Yeah, and which surprised me, because you'd think if he was shooting this music video that they would have had the entire bridge
closed
down. Yeah.
It was a pedestrian bridge, not a road, right?
I can't remember because I used to live in Nashville. I can't remember. But I think it was a pedestrian bridge, but still, I would think it would be closed off to the public while they were shooting this.
Mm.
Anyway, Sue, this one will be interesting for you. A homeowner who sold his $79 million Miami Beach mansion for less than asking price is now suing his realtor for not disclosing that Jeff Bezos was the buyer. The 7-bedroom, 14-bathroom home is known as the Billionaire Bunker, whose famous residents include Jared Kushner, Ivanka Trump, and Tom Brady. So here's what happened. List price was $85 million. The agent told the seller that the buyer would not go over $79 million. According to the lawsuit, the CEO of the real estate company told the seller, you know, the buyer is not Bezos, when it turned out to be that's exactly who
it
was.
Wait, so it actually said, oh, it's not Bezos, and lied outright?
That's what the lawsuit says.
Oh, boy.
But I thought I read a little different version of that that said that Bezos used a third party to buy the house. So I guess you could go into court and argue that technically it's not Bezos buying the house, it's this other person. I'm sure that's where they'll parse that out.
Well,
right?
But I read too that if you're really, really wealthy like he is, that you would not want to disclose your name, because then if the seller finds out that's you, they're going to maybe hike up the price a little.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
What can I squeeze out of him?
That's smart.
After 155 years, Campbell's Soup Company is changing its name. The company plans to drop the word soup from its name, rebranding as the Campbell's Company. This comes as, I guess, more consumers, they say, are buying snacks and ditching the soups, the ready-to-serve soups. So
people will buy more just because they changed the name?
I think they want it to be all-encompassing. Like, remember Dunkin' Donuts dropped the donuts and just changed it to Dunkin' because they want everyone to think, we're coffee and breakfast sandwiches and all of these things.
What else does Campbell make besides soup?
They have Prepperidge Farm. And
oh, yeah.
Oh,
they have
okay. See, I didn't know that. I didn't know that.
They have a bunch of stuff.
All right.
Speaking of food, heads up for any cantaloupe fans. Eagle Produce is recalling more than 200 cases of cantaloupes over possible salmonella contamination. Yeah. They were sold under the name Candy, that's K-A-N-D-Y, on a red and white sticker with the UPC code, not that you're going to remember this, 4050. Fruit was sold, by the way, in Missouri, Michigan, Ohio, Texas, and Virginia.
We need store names. We don't have any.
Mm. Yeah, I
don't
agree.
Know. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think they should tell you what store they sold it at. I haven't bought a cantaloupe in a few years, but still, you'd want to know that.
I love cantaloupe.
Mm-hmm.
I do, too. That sounds good.
I know, especially right now.
Minus the salmonella,
a little bit of salt
yeah,
on
minus the salmonella. It sounds great.
You have to salt cantaloupe.
That sounds gross. I've been watching this video of the SpaceX Polaris Dawn astronauts attempting to make history this morning by becoming the first ever private citizens to walk in space. Jarek Isaacman and Sarah Gillis, the only two of the four-man crew who are actually exiting the spacecraft. But they did it. They were tethered to the capsule, but they did their little spacewalk. I believe it was 5:12 our time.
That's really cool.
Did you know there's no airlock on this thing? So they had to decompress the entire spacecraft.
Ooh.
The other people had to sit inside in their little spacesuits while these two went out for a walk.
And then they had to come back in their little spacesuits?
Yeah. All right, coming up, we'll give our TSO tickets away. We'll talk to Mark Lotter about the debate.
Get more at 971talk.com.
What's happening?
Go, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news,
John Bon Jovi being hailed a hero after saving a woman from jumping off a Nashville bridge. The legendary rocker was recording a music video on that bridge downtown in Nashville Wednesday when he noticed this woman standing over the ledge. Surveillance video shows Bon Jovi and another woman help pull her back over the railing, and then he's actually seen hugging the woman.
Wow. Take my hand.
She walks off.
We'll make it, I swear. Did he sing that?
He probably serenaded her after.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, good for him. He was filming a music video on that bridge. I didn't even know they made music videos anymore, but I guess Taylor Swift won some award at the Music Video Awards last night, so they must...
Yeah, you got to put it on YouTube.
They must still make videos. So John Bon Jovi was filming this on this bridge, and they looked back and see some woman about to jump.
Yeah, and which surprised me, because you'd think if he was shooting this music video that they would have had the entire bridge
closed
down. Yeah.
It was a pedestrian bridge, not a road, right?
I can't remember because I used to live in Nashville. I can't remember. But I think it was a pedestrian bridge, but still, I would think it would be closed off to the public while they were shooting this.
Mm.
Anyway, Sue, this one will be interesting for you. A homeowner who sold his $79 million Miami Beach mansion for less than asking price is now suing his realtor for not disclosing that Jeff Bezos was the buyer. The 7-bedroom, 14-bathroom home is known as the Billionaire Bunker, whose famous residents include Jared Kushner, Ivanka Trump, and Tom Brady. So here's what happened. List price was $85 million. The agent told the seller that the buyer would not go over $79 million. According to the lawsuit, the CEO of the real estate company told the seller, you know, the buyer is not Bezos, when it turned out to be that's exactly who
Wait,
it was.
So it actually said, oh, it's not Bezos, and lied outright?
That's what the lawsuit says.
Boy.
But I thought I read a little different version of that that said that Bezos used a third party to buy the house. So I guess you could go into court and argue that technically it's not Bezos buying the house, it's this other person. I'm sure that's where they'll parse that out,
well,
right?
Well, but I read, too, that if you're really, really wealthy like he is, that you would not want to disclose your name, because then if the seller finds out that's you, they're going to maybe hike up the
pockets.
Price a little.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
What can I squeeze out of him?
That's smart.
After 155 years, Campbell's Soup Company is changing its name. The company plans to drop the word soup from its name, rebranding as the Campbell's Company. This comes as, I guess, more consumers, they say, are buying snacks and ditching the soups, the ready-to-serve soups.
So people will buy more just because they changed the name?
I think they want it to be all-encompassing. Like, remember Dunkin' Donuts dropped the donuts and just changed it to Dunkin' because they want everyone to think, we're coffee and breakfast sandwiches and all of these things.
What else does Campbell make besides soup?
They have Prepperidge Farm. And
oh, yeah.
Oh,
they have
okay. See, Goldfish. I didn't know that.
They have a bunch of stuff.
All right.
Speaking of food, heads up for any cantaloupe fans. Eagle Produce is recalling more than 200 cases of cantaloupes over possible salmonella contamination. Yeah. They were sold under the name Candy, that's K-A-N-D-Y, on a red and white sticker with the UPC code, not that you're going to remember this, 4050. Fruit was sold, by the way, in Missouri, Michigan, Ohio, Texas, and Virginia.
We need store names. We don't have any.
Mm. Yeah, I
don't
agree.
Know. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think they should tell you what store they sold it at. I haven't bought a cantaloupe in a few years, but still, you'd want to know that.
I love cantaloupe.
Mm-hmm.
I do, too. That sounds good.
I know, especially right now.
Minus the salmonella,
a little bit of salt.
Yeah, minus the salmonella. It sounds great.
You have to salt cantaloupe.
That sounds gross. I've been watching this video of the SpaceX Polaris Dawn astronauts attempting to make history this morning by becoming the first ever private citizens to walk in space. Jarek Isaacman and Sarah Gillis, the only two of the four-man crew who were actually exiting the spacecraft, but they did it. They were tethered to the capsule, but they did their little spacewalk. I believe it was 5:12 our time.
That's really cool.
Did you know there's no airlock on this thing? So they had to decompress the entire spacecraft.
Ooh.
The other people had to sit inside in their little spacesuits while these two went out for a walk.
And then they had to come back in their little spacesuits?
Yeah. All right, coming up, we'll give our TSO tickets away. We'll talk to Mark Lotter about the debate.
Get more at 971talk.com.